Genesis chapter number, 12. We're in 13. Chapter 13 now. We went last week and we began, I'll be backtrack real quick just for a minute. We know that in chapter number 12, that Abraham goes down into Egypt. This is the first time recorded that Abraham or Abram goes down into Egypt. This is important because of what's going to happen after this. Abram gets out of the will of God. God never told Abram to go down there. God told him to come out of the country of his family and that he would provide for him. But sometimes in this Christian life, even those that are strong in faith, sometimes we stumble, we make mistakes. And so Abram turns aside. He goes down into Egypt. He comes out of Egypt. And not long after this, what happens? Sarah gives Abram her handmaid that comes out of Egypt. And so this is why, hey, listen, sometimes you may think, oh, I got by with it. You may think, oh, it didn't hurt me. But I'm telling you, that sin of Abram's going down into Egypt when he wasn't supposed to, it caused a lot of problems in their home, in the marriage. And here we are thousands of years later, and we're still reaping some of the problems from it. So listen, you better be very careful. Your sins will find you out. And so, but he comes up out of Egypt. Lot is still with him at this point. He sees Uncle Abram doing something he's not supposed to. And he comes out of Egypt, and Abram gets right with God. He builds an altar. And here in chapter number 13, and they come into a place, they come back to Bethel. Bethel means what? The house of God. Bethel means the house of God. And so Abram comes back to the house of God. He comes into the place of the altar, which he had made the first. And there, Abram, not Lot, we don't see anything else, but Abram calls on the name of the Lord. My Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, tonight now as we continue through the life of Abram and Lot, God, that we may glean and learn from this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So here we are now, and they've come out of Egypt. And verse 5, and Lot also went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. So here, once again, Abram is about to make a decision without proper prayer. He's talking to Lot. I pray thee. He's talking to Lot. He's not talking to God. Listen, when you're going to make life-altering decisions, you ought to seek God. Y'all not pick up and move without seeking God. Y'all not switch churches without seeking God. You ought not get married, ladies and gentlemen, that are below, that are not married, without seeking God. That goes with buying a house. That goes with buying a car. Man, it ought to be every decision. Listen, maybe it wouldn't even be a bad thing for you to pray, but if you're going out for lunch, pray. I remember years ago, we've had this happen too while we were on vacation. I remember years ago that Burger King up there in Lexington, right there beside where Blockbuster used to be. I was taking that carpentry class. Was that my senior year of high school? Took that carpentry class. And me and a couple of my buddies, we went over to that Burger King to eat. If this grosses y'all out, I'm going to do it early in the message so then you got time to forget about it. Anyway, we went up to the front. We ordered our food. And we all got our food. We walk over and we sit down and we start eating our food there. I wasn't saved. But anyway, we went to that Burger King there, and by the time we start eating, I'm not lying, y'all. I'm 99% sure it was termites.
Well, we sat down and we started eating, and bugs, we look around and bugs are coming out of the wall everywhere. I'm pretty sure, like I said, I've been out of school 26 years ago. I'm 99% sure it was termites is what it was, but they were everywhere. It didn't take us long to eat our food. And, you know, we're teenage boys. It was me, Jeremy Haynes, and another guy. I can't remember the other guy's name right now. But we ate our food the fastest we ever ate. We're teenage boys. Listen, it takes a lot at that age to gross out a boy. But we ate our food, and we left. Most of you would have probably just thrown the food away and left. But we ate it. We're teenage boys. Like I said, it takes a lot to gross us out. We still ate our food. Bugs are climbing around. They were on the walls and on the floor. You ought to take the time and pray about where you go to eat lunch. Why? Because you never know. Mom and Daddy not picking on them. Thankfully, they didn't get that sick. My brother got real sick several years. How many years ago has it been? I went to Tar Heel Q and got that. Five years ago. We've been here for seven, so it can't be longer than seven because it happened since we've been here. 6 years ago. They went to a barbecue restaurant. We grew up on that. I mean, when we went out to eat, that was probably the one place Mom did. We didn't go out fast food growing up. We got Little Caesar's Pizza or Tar Heel Q. That was the two places. There's a few others. But those were the two main places that we went or had. But anyway, Tar Heel Q, that barbecue place there, and they went out a few years ago, and unfortunately, they got salmonella from there. And thankfully, Mom, you didn't get it all, did you?
I didn't eat barbecue that night.
You didn't eat barbecue.
I had eaten earlier, so all I ordered was some wings.
He ate wings. Mom, unfortunately, got barbecue, and she ended up getting sick. My brother, they said, lost 20 pounds from it because of... I'm telling you, it pays to pray over your food and pays to pray about decisions you make. Little decisions. You never know. Sometimes things happen. Why did I get a flat tire? Hey, you never know sometimes why your car won't start. You get a flat tire. You say, oh, it's frustrating. I know I'm probably one of the most impatient people in this room. I'm willing to admit it. I understand. But sometimes God works. All things aren't good, but all things work to the good to them. There are going to be times, I believe we get to heaven, God's going to show us you had a flat tire car that wouldn't crank or whatever because God slowed you down because he kept you from something. And so one of the things Abram does not do here, once again, he's talking to Lot. Let there be no strife. I pray thee. He's not praying to God. He's not seeking God for counsel. This is the young man that Lot has brought up like his own son. Well, Abram doesn't have children at this age. It's his brother's son. It's his nephew. He's raised Lot. Lot is successful because of Abram. He is blessed. You want to see God will bless you because of blessing. This is why I believe God has blessed America, because of our stance with Israel. And we are slowly but surely getting more politicians on the left and the right that are speaking out against Israel. It's the last days. It's going to happen. But you keep praying for Israel. You keep praying for them and being a blessing to them. But Lot is blessed because God just gave him a promise over here in chapter 12 that he would bless those that bless him. And I believe that Lot is blessed because he's with Abram. That's his uncle. Lot is taking care of him. But he takes no time. Lot does not get his heart right when he comes out of Egypt. Only Abram does. If Lot would have got his heart right, he probably wouldn't have been looking towards Sodom to be going towards. Abram said, Lot, let there be no strife. I pray thee between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. Bad decision, Abram. If God has put somebody, listen, Brianna, I'm thankful, has been willing to submit herself to our authority. If she comes to me this week and says, I'm going to move out, I'm going to get my own apartment, you know what I'm going to ask her? Have you? I'm going to say, have you prayed about this? The worst thing we do is run into stuff. Lot and or Abram, I believe at this point, though Abram's got his heart right, they have not prayed about this. They're not doing right because obviously Lot is doing right because of Uncle Abram. If you've got that kind of influence on somebody that may not be your direct children, listen, if God has blessed you with that ability to have influence on grandkids or your kids or your nieces or nephews, don't take that lightly. Pray for them. Pray with them. If somebody is your nephew, or maybe they're not even related to you, but they come for you as spiritual advice, take the time and pray about it. Somebody comes to you and says, I've been looking at this house down the street, and I think this would just make me a nice house. And what do you think? You say, have you prayed about it? Have you seeking God? Because I'm telling you, decisions in life come with consequences. I know a lot of times we think consequences is something negative, but consequences can also be a positive thing. One of the consequences of buying a house versus renting is eventually it's yours. If you don't do something dumb and go get a 50-year mortgage, I don't know where in the world this is coming from, man, that we don't need 50-year mortgages. Matter of fact, I wish that, and I'm glad that we have learned our lesson. Our first house, we did a 30-year mortgage. I know my kids go looking at a house with their spouses. My advice is going to be don't buy anything you can't pay in 15 years, no more than 20 years. You should not, because I'm telling you, you spend so much time, and I don't remember, somebody figured it up now. If you bought a house at so much, they'd already done the figures with this idea of a 50-year mortgage, you'd basically pay for the house four times, I think is what they said. If you bid a 50, that is ridiculous. But anyway, pray about it. He said, is not the whole land before thee? Separate, I pray thee from me. Uncle Abram said, you know what? Let's just separate. They didn't seek God. He didn't take it to an altar. He didn't say, Lord, what would you have from me? If thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll take the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes. What did we tell you about marriage? One of the worst things you can do when trying to pick out a spouse is to do it with what?
Your heart.
Your heart, with emotions. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The worst thing you can do is do it by feelings. I feel. I don't care what you feel. Have you sought the Lord?
Lot lifts up his eyes. His eyes, listen, look, you know what they always say? The grass is greener on the other side until you find out Satan's got a septic tank over there. Be very careful. He lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Sometimes things look nice. Has anybody in here ever bought a car that it looks super nice? I would put it in there. And you end up being a lemon. Bought something that, listen, it looked nice on the outside, man. You let your feelings, oh man, this thing looks great. We've done it.
It was a Porsche.
It was a Porsche. Woo! Miss Barnabelle Tim told us a story. Years ago, they were laboring in a church there in North Carolina out at the coast. And they knew that they felt like that God wanted them to get a bigger vehicle to carry more kids and bring kids to church. But they said they just rushed right out. They saw one of them Volkswagen vans or buses, that they had. And they said without praying about it, they went and got that thing. They said that is one of their biggest regrets. I think she said, if I remember correctly, if I'm wrong, I think she said they paid for that vehicle three times by the time they ended up having to put a motor in it, transmission. She said it was nothing. She said they were relieved the day they finally got rid of that thing. She said they did not pray about it. They did not take the time to seek God. I'm telling you, there are times you'll look at a house and say, oh, it's so pretty. Listen, I'm thankful for the first house me and Mama bought. But after we got in there and we got over the sticker shock, we didn't pray about it and like we should have. After we got in there and I realized, and it, you know, we loved it, 3 1/4 acres. But now looking back now, we knew even then that we wanted at least 4 children. And yet, what did we buy? A 2-bedroom, 1-bath house. We didn't seek God over that. It was a blessing. We loved the house. But by the time we got out there, we had 3 of our 4 kids, and we were cramped in there. We were house poor. We had an $800 a month house payment. And we just jumped into it dumb. And I'm telling you, I'm trying to give you some biblical advice. Pray about these things. Don't look at something. It was a beautiful log cabin. We got a picture of the Bonnie was born. No, Bonnie was not born. We got a picture of me and her and the 3 of them in front of it. Right when we sold the house, we took one last picture of it. And we loved it. But I'm telling you, it was a greater day when that woman called, wasn't it? When that woman called and said she had sold her house and she was finally able to buy ours, it was a greater day that day than it was when we found out they took the offer that we offered when we bought the house. I'm sure some of y'all probably feel it, maybe not. But it was that way to us. It was a greater day when we had that off of our necks. This is why, especially for preachers, it's important for preachers to know what the will of God is. You know, it would have been foolish for me if this was not the will of God to come out here and buy a house and then turn around and find out, you know what, if it's the will of God and then I have a house I can't get rid of. People often ask, you know, are you going to rent or buy a house? And we sought the Lord and we sought counsel from Brother Shepherd. And we said we're going to buy a house. And one of the things he advised us, there's a lot of preachers that come out here and they rent a house. And unfortunately, because they rent a house, it makes it easier for them to pick up and leave. One of the things Brother Shepherd advised us is that it looks better for people when you come in and you buy a house because they know you can't leave by night. By the way, that is a true, that happens. I've talked to several preachers that say that is honest truth. It has happened to many people. Many people come out here and they get discouraged and they leave in the middle of the night. Pick up and leave. Thankfully, we can't leave in the middle of the night. It's going to have to be God's will because I'm not leaving. We would not leave in the shape that we're in, not leave the church in the shape it's in, not leave the EMS because we believe in a testimony for God. Be very careful about what you get yourselves into here. It goes on now. He goes on. He says, Lot chose that land. Abram dwelt in verse 12. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelt. Wait a minute here. What does it say? In the cities of the plain. And pitched his tent toward Sodom. What was they separating for? Because they had so much cattle and herds. But just in a few short verses, where is he already dwelling? Close to Sodom. In the cities. Pitching his tent right next to the cities. See, it looks enticing and it'll entice you. I told y'all, this is one of the Samson. I believe Samson, one of the people in the Bible, had some of the greatest potential. And he's one of the biggest failures. I believe Lot could be number 2. This man had great potential. He lived with his uncle Abram. He learned of God. He knew of God. He had great herds and cattle. But just in a few short years, if you keep reading, if we get into it tonight, just a few short years, he goes from great cattle so much so that him and his uncle had to separate because they had so much. that when he flees Sodom, he leaves with his wife and 2 daughters. There's no herds. There's no herdsmen. There's a wife and 2 daughters. He doesn't leave with his other daughters that are married. He doesn't leave with his sons. By the way, a lot of people believe the reason that Abram prayed God down, when we get over there, the reason that a lot of people believe that Abraham prayed God down with 10 people is because when you read there, it says those angels said he, Lot and his wife, he had 2 virgin daughters. He had sons-in-laws, so that means he had at least 2 married daughters, 2 son-in-laws. And he says that they also asked him, do you have any here besides your sons? So if Lot would have won his own family, Sodom and Gomorrah not been destroyed. He said, you have any here besides sons, plural, so he had at least 2 sons. He had at least 2 married daughter-in-laws because he went and talked to his sons-in-law, so 2 more. He left with his wife, himself, and 2 virgin daughters. But yet, he has all this. He has herds and cattle, and sin cost him everything. My pastor used to say, our previous pastor used to say, and I'm sure he got it from somebody else, but in your board book, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Do you think those drunkards that you see out here that have destroyed their bodies, do you think they started out as drunkards? No, they started out as a lot of them social drinking, maybe even going to a church that served alcohol. I think how many people get introduced to alcohol in a church? What a sad thought, they end up being drunkards. Do you think these people that you see strung out on meth, do you think they started out like that? No, matter of fact, most of them sitting here probably see the before and after pictures. They try it. They try it. And next thing you know, they're hooked on it. Sin will take you further than you. Listen, young people. You think I'm just going to play. This is why it's important. I got on the board on the church side about purity. Purity is not something to play around with. It's like a child playing with fire. Eventually, they're going to get burned. These young people that go out and they pant, and they touch on one another, and they kiss on one another, eventually, long enough, they're going to do something that's only supposed to be in the bounds of marriage. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. See, we've taken something God made honorable between a husband and wife, and we've made it into, and we've made it into something that people are so disgusted. Listen, I'm not talking about fully disgusted. I'm just telling you, marriage, Hebrews says marriage is honorable and all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Don't play with sin. You will get burned. I've been around some things that I'm not proud of. I've seen a lot of things that I'm not proud of. I'm telling you, sin will destroy your life. It is not something to play around with. It cost Lot everything. Here's what it said. He began to dwell in those cities and pitched his tent in the plain. But the men of Sodom, long before we get to chapter 19, I think it's chapter 19. Long before we get over there, I think it's chapter 19, maybe it's 18. Nope, it's chapter 19. Yep, chapter 19. Long before we get to chapter 19, it says here that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and westward, eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. This is a title deed to the land of Israel that God has given. I don't care what you know. We're in a day and time, you young people. This is why we don't let our kids on social media. There are so many young people that are deceived by this Palestinian thing. Do you understand? There are over 40 Muslim countries in this world. There's one Jewish one. And yet, none of those 40 Muslim countries want to take those people in. They expect that one Jewish country to give up its land for them. You don't want to know what that is. Well, maybe you do. Here's what I believe. I believe they'll wipe them off the map. I believe during that, I think it was a six-day war or seven-day war. I can't remember which. I can't remember. That Israel should have wiped every one of those Muslim countries off the map. Israel gained twice as much land as it had in that war, six-day war. I think it's six-day war. I think that, hey, if that the reason God ain't made me president in the country, because I'd say, go ahead. Wipe them all out, and when it's done, you can have every bit of the land. Because I'm telling you, we're watching America fall right now with Muslims coming into this country. If you haven't seen what's been going on in New York and in Dearborn, Michigan, and in several other places around this country, in Texas right now, they were trying to create a Muslim city in Texas. And they were going to institute Sharia law, which is exactly what the media won't tell you is going on over in Europe right now. There are places, if you remember, if anybody paid attention, several years ago, I think it was during the 2016 election, they called them no-go places over in France and several other countries. They are Muslim-controlled areas inside of countries that regular Christians and stuff are not allowed, because they will kill them for going in. And it's happening right now in America. And Christians are sitting idly by, and preachers sit idly by, because people in the pews get mad when preachers say anything about politics. Well, you're looking at one man that ain't afraid to call out both sides of the aisle, because I'm sick of both of them wasting money. Only government, only government can be so inept as to tax people at 30 and 40% rate and still be bankrupt and $36 trillion in debt. Only government can be that inept. And yet, there's many people across this country right now that are crying out, saying that they think the answer is to start taxing churches. If they think taxing churches is going to be the answer to the debt problem in America, they're greatly mistaken. The first thing government does when it starts getting more money is to what? Spend more and want more. They got more money coming in right now in 2025 than they did in 2016. But guess what? The debt's still growing. Our answer to our problems is not in the White House. I voted for Trump. I vote Republican. You vote however God leads you, but I cannot vote for, I don't care if they got an R or D next to their name. I will not vote for anybody that I know is pro-abortion. And I refuse to endorse anybody that does it. And I'm definitely not backing anybody that's up for men and women's bathrooms. You can be for that all you want to, but I got a wife and five daughters, and I refuse to let boys go into the bathroom with them. And that's one thing that I... Anyway. The men were exceedingly great. By the way, if you don't know this, and I should have looked this up, and I can look it up later, or if you want to know, but you can look it up. In the book of Ezekiel, they did not start out as Sodomites. The Bible plainly tells us in the book of Ezekiel that they get to be, and that's why you're seeing it in America right now, there's three sins that lead to that sin. Idleness, abundance of bread, and pride. God told Ezekiel, the sins of thy sister Sodom were idleness of time. We have so many people that sit around now, and I'm guilty too. And listen, if you sit around on that phone for 8 hours a day not doing anything, you're going to be looking at the wrong thing before it's too late. If you sit around, listen, that's why we try to encourage our children, pick up books, read, schoolwork, do something. Always try to learn something. I know the Bible talks about ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. He's talking about in a religious sense. We all be trying to learn something. The sins of Sodom, idleness of time. We have so many people right now that have so much time on our hands and they don't do anything. They sit around. We play video games. But there's some people that will sit around on video games for 8-9 hours. Watch what you do with your time. Be very careful. Get in your Bible. We just looked at Deuteronomy this morning. Deuteronomy says that we are supposed to be spending our time passing on the Word of God and the commandments of God. Number two, the idols of time, abundance of bread. I know that there are people out here that really need that. That's why I'm not totally against food stamps, okay? I am not totally against it. I believe it ought to be for two or three people. It ought to be for elderly folk who really cannot get help or don't have the money. It ought to be for truly disabled people that cannot truly work. And it ought to be for, especially, and they could fall under the second group, it ought to be for military people that come home suffering with PTSD and things like that. Those are the three groups that I see. Some woman that's had 4 kids by 4 different men, that should not qualify her for food stamps. I'm not for it. I believe, personally, we ought to reward good behavior. The problem is, in America for the last 50 years, we rewarded bad behavior. If you reward good behavior, you would have more people doing good behavior. I believe that people ought to be rewarded for being married for 30, 40, almost 50 years. Those are the ones. We shouldn't be rewarding some woman that's had 5 kids by 5 different men. I don't care what race or whatever they are. We ought to be rewarding that behavior. We ought to be encouraging people to say, you know what? We want people to stay married. Why? Because kids that come from married homes are less likely to get in trouble, less likely to be criminals. They're more likely to contribute to society. They're more likely to be workers. They're more less likely to be a drain on the system. We'll be encouraging people. But anyway, idleness of time, abundance of bread, and pride. Preacher, who are you to tell me? I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. Do you get mad when the mailman delivers your power bill?
Yes.
Do you? You heathen, don't shut yourself. You don't get mad. You're not standing out there at the mailbox waiting for him to deliver your bill so you can yell at him. It's not his fault. He's just the messenger. I'm just delivering the message. It's not Daniel's standards. My standards would be like your standards and the world's standards. My world, listen, I know before I got saved, I believed that, it didn't matter what religion you were, as long as you're sincere, God's not going to send you to hell. And it wasn't until 25 years ago, as I was 18, and you know where I got that from? A teacher in high school. A teacher in my high school taught us that in class one time. And I believed that just for a few years until I got saved. But I truly believe that. I said, it doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter if you're Muslim, as long as you're serving God. If you're Hindu, God knows you're sincere. You know what I was? Sincerely wrong. I don't care what your denomination. I don't care what your religion. I don't care what you believe. If it does not line, listen, if we don't have an absolute truth, then we're going to do exactly what they did during the time of the judges. Every man's going to do that which is right in their own eyes. That's why it's important for us to have an absolute truth that we can say, this is the truth of, if this is not the truth, if evolution is true, if there is no God and we're just something that randomly happened, if we're just some creature that come around because of a random chance, then there's no such thing as murder. There's no such thing as a lie. There is no right. See, that's what a lot of these people understand. If evolution is true, that there is, that we're just a bunch of random molecules, we're just an accident. If evolution is true, we're just an accident, and none of this means anything. But if there is a God, and there is a truth, we can say right from wrong, then that means we're going to be held accountable.
Let me finish this chapter and I'm done. He goes on, he says here, seeing those were sinners. Verse 14, the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot had separated himself, he said, look towards this. He's given them the land. In verse 15, he said, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Merom, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. By the way, if you're saved tonight, you have been grafted into the family of Abram. You're one of those that he's talking about there. We are grafted into the family with Abraham by faith. We may not be in the natural branch because we're not Jews, but if you're saved tonight, you have been grafted in because of your faith, just like Abram. We are that multitude there that if he can number if you can number, listen, there are we at 8 billion people? I think we're getting close to 8 billion people on this planet. That's alive right now. I can't imagine, Brother Joe, how many's lived then. I believe the world's 6,000 years old. If I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure in high school that when we were in high school in the late 90s, I think there was only 5 or 6 billion people. That means if there was 6 billion in just 20 some years, we've gained another 2 billion people on this planet in just 25 years. So how many people do you think lived the last 6,000? That's why he says, Abram, if you can number the dust of the earth or the stars of heaven, hey, that's us. If you're saved tonight, you are one of those that is grafted in or adopted in to the family of God. But if you're tonight, you've never been saved, I'm telling you, you better get right with God. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. If you don't know God tonight as your personal Savior, if you've never called on the name of the Lord, I'm telling you, you need to get right with God. In a moment, twinkle an eye, the Bible says, the dead in Christ arise first, then we which are alive remain to the coming of the Lord shall be called up together to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Are you ready for that event? I'm telling you, there are so many people right now that are claimed to be Christians and claim to be right with God that are turning their backs on Israel. It's fulfilling Bible prophecy right before your very eyes, that everyone in the end would turn their backs on Israel. And we're watching it. We're watching people do it. It lets me know that the end is near. Should Jesus come today? Should that trumpet blow? Are you ready? If not, you need to come to this altar and call the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the day. I do pray, Lord, if there's one in here tonight, Lord, even through the teaching of Abram and Lot, God, that they... God may not or know that their heart is not right in the sight of you. May they come tonight and call on the name of the Lord. Lord, I pray that we all would be, there's not a one in here tonight, there's not a one the last 6 years that has stepped foot in this place that I want to see die and go to hell. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to win Rush County to you, open the eyes of the lost, and establish a great work here in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You need to come tonight. Come on.